Hey, welcome back to what we're going to call the third season of this podcast, Mental Health is Sexy with Coach V from the 513. I am your host, Coach V, certified mindfulness coach, speaker, and author, and the creator of the Mental Health is Sexy brand. Now, of course, I am recording this podcast episode and my beautiful children are texting me. So you might hear my text alerts, but we just gonna go. You hear me? We gonna keep it authentic. We gonna keep it funky. And sometimes things happen. Like I'm sitting in the parking lot of my neighborhood Walmart sharing this segment with you. Typically, if you've listened to seasons 1 and 2, my recordings have been 30 minutes or longer. However, life has prevented me from being consistent with that setting. So I'm going to do something different, excuse me, for season 3. I am going to do various lengths of episodes because I got a lot to say. I've been gone for a minute. Now I'm back with the jump off. And I've been sitting here watching mental health experiences become trending topics from the Olympics, from the tennis world, from comedians and actors and actresses, whereas the voice of the everyday people continues to be suppressed. And enough is enough. Enough is enough. Now, if you are here from my little snippet on Instagram, welcome and hello. Please make sure to share this podcast with your friends, your neighbors, your cousins, your relatives, your practitioners, your funders, because we need to blow up this Mental Health is Sexy movement. I mean, I've been sitting back chilling and observing and watching the brouhaha that's been happening lately around mental health experiences, and my spirit will no longer allow me to be what I call a silent spectator, meaning I've watched posts, read stories, listen to news segments, screenshot information I've seen on social media. So I have this entire folder in my phone of experiences, mental health experiences that I've screenshot to say, oh, I'm going to talk about this later on YouTube, or oh, I'm going to talk about this later on IG, or oh, I'm going to get back into my podcasting and talk about it later. And spirit says, you've done that enough. This is your lane. This is what you do. This is your passion. This is your purpose. I did not bring you through an intense experience of manic depression to allow you to sit down and be a silent spectator. So this is me getting myself together before spirit has to do so more aggressively. You hear me? Can I get an amen? Amen. So with that being said, I want to briefly talk about the Olympics and the experience with our good sis, Sha'Carri Richardson. I hope I'm saying the A correctly. It's either Sha'Carri or Sha'Carri, but I feel like it's Sha'Carri Richardson. The sister who broke records with the 100-meter dash, with her orange hair and her FloJo style fingernails and her butterfly lashes. She came out the gate on gold. Everybody was singing her praises. Everybody was hashtag Sha'Carri Richardson, hashtag 100 meter dash, hashtag black girl magic, hashtag whoop-de-whoop, FloJo vibes. Everybody was on the bandwagon, right? And of course, she got a, I'm pausing because it's one thing to find out that your mom has passed. It's another thing how you find out. And the stories say that Sha'Carri found out from a reporter that her mom has passed. Not from a family member, not from a text message, not from a phone call, not from an email, not because she stumbled upon mom and discovered her herself. No, it was from a reporter. Someone who just wanted the scoop, who wanted a feedback and reaction, who wanted to share news, not someone who was personally invested in Sha'Carri and her well-being. I say that to say this. Sometimes the source of the information is worse or can be worse than the information itself, especially if it's something as sensitive as losing a parent. Now, there has been some brouhaha in the streets about it was her biological mom, her grandmother raised her, maybe the relationship wasn't closed, why, yada, yada. At the end, beginning, and middle of the day, that's still sis's mom. So whatever that personal relationship was, whatever those experiences, whatever those unhealed wound was, etc., that still was her mother. So there was some form of attachment, emotional connection, healing that needed to be done, all of the things, and that still was her mother, period, point blank. Now, in 2008, I was driving a Jeep Cherokee Laredo. I had 22-inch tires and rims, Pirellis to be specific, low profiles. And I regularly was going to get my tires resealed because I stay in the Midwest and the city that I live in, the potholes, horrible.com. I was a new driver. I probably shouldn't have had low profile wheels to begin with. So I was regularly at one of my local tire shops getting my tires and rims resealed and put back on my truck because they were deflating, right? Because of the potholes and whatnot. So on Monday, October the 6th, 2008, I've picked up my children from school. They were very young then. I have adult children now. They were very young then, 13 years ago. And so they're in the back of the truck, and I'm at the tire place, regular customer, getting my tires and rims resealed. So my sister calls, and I believe I didn't answer the first call because I was in conversation with the tire guys. And then she called again. And I remember saying, excuse me, because my sister never calls back to back. So, you know, let me take this call. On the other end, my sister was crying and I'm sure snotting because I feel like I could hear it through the phone and screaming that our mom had been found dead in her apartment. So I say, excuse me, come again. Now, mind you, physically, I did hear her words. I'm not hard of hearing. My hearing is great. It's my vision that's a little shaky. So I heard what she said. However, the words, my brain chose not to process the words that she was saying out of her mouth. So I asked her, I'm sorry, what? Come again? And she slowed down through her tears and said, Mommy was just found in her apartment dead. Now, mind you, I'm a regular at this tire place. I'm polite. I'm friendly. They know me and my truck by name. I give them lots of money. So we had a great rapport. I turned into this super rude, super impatient woman in like 0.5 seconds. Because once I chose to process enough what my sister told me about our mom, there was a little snappage when it comes to great customer service and speaking clearly and articulately and in a friendly manner and smiling and being upbeat. There was some snappage there in that exact moment. Now, what I am thankful for is that my two young children were in the car because me being the type of mom that always wants to show them the best demonstration of myself or want to show them how you conduct business, that was enough of a reminder that I needed to snatch my soul back together and apologize for my rudeness. And at the same time, tell them, I need y'all to hurry up because my sister just said my mom was found dead in her apartment and I gotta go. So again, I apologize for my outburst, for my rudeness. Can you please hurry up? Can this please double time, please? I'm sharing this story to say this. At the time of my mom's passing, we had just reconciled after a 10-year estrangement, a 10-year hiatus, a 10 years of me holding a grudge, a 10 years of me ducking and dodging her, a 10 years of me not answering phone calls, a 10 years of me not answering the door when she popped up. before she passed, we had been reconciled for 92 days. 92 days, she was able to enjoy her grandchildren, cook for us, have fun, keep them overnight, paint their nails, do their hair, when for 10 years, she couldn't even have access to me, let alone my children. Now, in 2008, my children were 7 and 5. So that means for the first 7 years of my oldest daughter and the first 5 years of my youngest daughter, my mom hadn't had access to them. Because I was still in my feelings. I was still upset and angry for whatever I was upset and angry about. And so the best solution for me was to cut my mom off as soon as I got on my own, right? However, Spirit saw fit that for 92 days, I had my mom in my life. My children had their grandma in their life because my mama refused to be called grandmother. She refused, okay? So for 92 days, we were in each other's space, right? We reconciled in July. It was right before the 4th of July holiday. I'll never forget. And then my mom passed October 6th. She was found passed in her apartment on October the 6th. So 92 days. So with that being said, with that 10 years, a decade of estrangement, and for 92 days of reconciliation, I was devastated when my mom passed. What first happened, though, was the shock. That's what first happened. After my brain chose to receive the information, I still did not know how to react. I still did not know how to process it because my mom never died before, right? Duh. So I didn't know how to respond appropriately. But I tell you again, the fact that my young daughters were in the car with me was enough of a reminder or a trigger to improve how I spoke to people I've done business with on a weekly basis, to make sure that I drove safely to my sister's house, to make sure that I held it together enough so that I didn't freak out my children in the back of my truck. My girls were there as a reminder enough to pull it together. And we're back. Life happens, yo. So my family and I are headed on our family vacation to Florida. And yes, I will be posting episodes in Florida. And so my husband's from Alabama, so I call him the country boy. So whenever you hear me refer to the country boy, that's what I'm speaking of. So of course, he wanted to call and check up on timing and see what I got going on. And as a woman of color, I feel it's my duty to speak life into him. And so whether it's a quote unquote good day or a challenging day, I take it upon myself to grab my soapbox and to speak life into my country boy. And so sometimes that makes the calls go longer than initially anticipated. But I'm always going to put my family first. So if they call in the middle of a podcasting episode because I didn't put my phone on Do Not Disturb, then we just going to have a pause and we're going to come back. We can call it a commercial break. Now, when my kids be texting, I promise you, it's not an emergency. Because we be having group texts going all the time. They know to call mommy if it's an emergency. So now that that's been explained and out the way, I was talking about how there was a reconciliation between me and my mom after 92 days, for 92 days after being estranged for 10 years. And I was sharing that with you all for the simple fact of letting you know or qualifying myself in what mental emotional state a person can be in once they get information that a parent has passed. And I was also sharing my experience because I wanted you to understand that not only did I understand receiving a phone call, an unexpected call, right, of your parent passing, but also the aspect of maybe not being close to that parent. Again, because it's been conversation that Shikari was raised by her grandmother and she kept saying her biological mother. Some people wanted to make an issue out of that. So I was sharing my story to say that Shikari and I generally and specifically have a lot of similarities around what she recently experienced. The difference, though, as I was mentioning, I had two little girls in the back seat of my vehicle that reminded me to pull it together, that reminded me that in that moment, not to lose it, that reminded me that at that very second, I had to be clear-headed enough to drive safely with them, to not startle and alarm them. Because again, they were 5 and 7. And up until that point, they had not experienced what it means for someone to transition or for someone to pass, right? I'm saying all that to say this. What if in the moment that that reporter spilled the beans, so to speak, about Shakari's mom passing, what if Shakari didn't have tangible or intangible reminders around her to hold it together? What if being such a young woman who, again, probably never experienced the death of a parent, well, we know for sure not her mom because her mom had just passed. What if she didn't have a reminder around her like I had my daughters? What if she didn't have a reminder around her to keep it together? What if she didn't have a reminder around her that says, okay, process this, breathe, don't fall apart in this moment, don't do anything to jeopardize your personal well-being, your professional well-being? What if she didn't have that reminder like I had in my daughters? What if her young mind went from, oh, you know, I'm the ish, I'm out here winning stuff, breaking records, whoop-de-whoop, to wait a minute, what? My mama, what? And there was a snap that occurred. Now, let's be clear. I think that, personally, Shakari been smoking weed, right? I think that that's a recreational vice, a recreational habit that she already partook in. I don't think that was the first time she smoked weed. What I do believe, though, is that in order for her to prepare for the Olympics, to qualify and to get on the team, to be in consideration, to perform how she has been, I do believe that she has taken a break from smoking weed in order to meet whatever metrics are set for her to run and break records. However, when she received the information of her mother passing from someone who could care less about who she is, they just wanted a reaction, that was enough to make sis snap and revert back to the calming things that she knows or that she's already been engaging in to help her woosah and to help her not to go completely off. And for her, that was engaging in the Mary Jane, the little puff puff pass, the little inhale and hold it. That was enough to cause her to snap and to revert back or to fall upon what she knows chills her out, mellows her mind, allows her to take a break from reality. Whatever fuels the reason for her to smoke, that was something she was comfortable with. That was a routine she had built and established for herself. So when she received that information, that snappage, that mental emotional snappage happened enough to cause her to not think or process out what would happen if ... What would happen professionally if ... What would happen personally if ... There was no time to process that because she's young. She didn't have the reminders around her like I had. For example, again, those were my children at the time in 2008. So she reverted back to what she was comfortable with, to what she was used to doing that kept her cool, calm, and collected in a stressful moment, right? That's what she did. Period, point blank, end of story. The issue I have with the coverage and the attention and the viral moments around Shakari is this. I'm not on the Olympic committee. If the rules say you can't have this in your system or you're disqualified, that's what the rules say. However, I do think that this experience is prime for a conversation about changing those rules, about modifying those rules, or if you will, about upgrading the stance on weed. I personally am not a weed smoker. I tried at 19. I felt like my lungs and my esophagus was on fire. I didn't understand why people wanted to do that to themselves. So in my 40s, I am still not a weed smoker. Never smoked cigarettes, never smoked Black & Milds. That's just not my thing, right? So because it's not my thing doesn't mean I judge and poke fun and frown upon people who it is their thing, right? Do as thy will. For me, though, if the rules are the rules, then the rules are the rules. However, I can see and appreciate that it's possibly time for those possibly antiquated rules to be revisited, upgraded, critiqued, or eliminated. Because as people are saying, ain't nobody ever ran fast off of weed, right? Weed did not make your muscles bigger. It did not get you amped up and gassed up. If anything, it had you looking for the Flamin' Hot Puff Cheetos, right? If anything, right? Everyone knows this. Every community knows this. This is what weed does. Allegedly. No. Now, here's my biggest thing about this story. Because I am a mental health influencer, because I am a person whose claim to fame is that I beat manic depression without medication, because I created the Mental Health is Sexy brand with the objective of changing the narrative around mental health, influencing the way mental health services are being delivered, and erasing the stigma around mental illness, because I wrote a self-help book sharing the 8 steps that I use to beat my depression without medication, because of all the things, here's the issue I have with reporters, with media, with social media hype. It appears as if, and I want to say appears as if, because maybe there has been this type of coverage I'm about to talk about and I just haven't came across it. It appears as if there's been so much hype, attention, viral moments off of Sha'Carri smoking some weed as a way to cope with finding out her mom passed from a reporter. And there's been no hype or emphasis on this young lady's mental health regarding her mother passing. Who's checking in on Sha'Carri? Who's talking to her as a mentor or as a coach or as a guide and helping her to discover alternative ways to cope and deal with life that may not jeopardize her professional career, that may not hinder any experiences in her personal life? Who's having the conversation with Sha'Carri? Who's helping her with the funeral arrangements? I spent almost 10 years in the funeral industry as a licensed insurance agent, where I sat down with families to help them plan the funerals for themselves or for a loved one. Those are not easy conversations. Who's helping Sha'Carri process going from quote unquote a regular track and field runner to a worldwide known track and field runner, because she breaking barriers and breaking records and doing it with her orange hair and her long nails and her butterfly lashes and her southern drawl, her accent, her confidence that Black women more often than not have in themselves when they talking they ish? Who's helping this young lady in this moment? Or are we still so focused on the fact that, oh, well, she smoked weed, she knew the rules, she knew the rules. Or hashtag let her run. I'm not saying don't support her and rally behind her. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, in your support and in your rallying behind her, the people in her space, help her through this process of making funeral arrangements. Help her in this process of grieving a relationship that cannot and will not be healed because her mom has transitioned. Help her in processing and understanding and building a self-care, mental, emotional self-care routine that will not get her banned from following her professional goals. Show her a way and show her a path of dealing with life that will not jeopardize her personally and or professionally. I am outraged at how much attention the wrong thing is getting. Like I said in the beginning of this episode, my spirit will no longer allow me to sit back and be a silent spectator or a silent observer. Because I've invested so much in my brand and hiring an attorney to help me file the paperwork, the trade work paperwork, to first getting not a no in my application, but getting a, hey, let's clear up some things. That cost money. But because I'm not a entertainer, because I'm not a celebrity, it's like outside of my town, folks don't hear me though. However, I'm going to continue to push because situations like with Sha'Carri Richardson are one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about my brand. We have to learn to evolve and change and revisit and eliminate things as each day goes by because times are changing. Times are changing. People are finding ways to deal with and cope with life that are stopping them from personal and professional goals simply because it's not a clinical or medicinal way of treatment. So let's say if she was on Zoloft or one of the antidepressants, would that have disqualified her? Would that have disqualified her if she was on two or three clinically prescribed medications? I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know all the rules. But I would venture off and say that if she was coping with life or coping with finding out that her mom had passed in a pharmaceutical way, I feel as if the hammer may not have came down so quick and swift on kicking her out of the Olympics. There would have been a variant for that. What do you think? Let me know. And we're back. So it's funny that I was just telling y'all that my girls know to call me if they really need me versus text me. So my oldest daughter called. Not an emergency like that. She just wanted some guidance on something. So I had to go take that call. Okay, so we're back. So again, I am working so hard to push and get my brand out there because of stories like Sha'Carri's. Of course, I have my own story and experiences. However, with these mental health experiences being a trending topic or plastered on the front of magazines and social medias and going viral and news coverage and all these things, my first thing I'm always thinking about is the mental and emotional space of the person who the story is about. Where's that coverage at? Who's doing these things? And as I mentioned before, my daughter called, I spent almost 10 years in the funeral industry. So I've sat with every family member, power of attorney, distant relative, spouse that you can think of and help them plan funeral arrangements for their loved one or for themselves. And when I reference an unexpected death, I mean someone who there was no signs of them passing. You know, because sometimes we have someone who's up in age. Sometimes we have someone who has a terminal illness. Sometimes we have someone who has been in an automobile accident. So when I say something, or any type of accident, so when I say unexpected, I mean someone where none of those factors are present and they were either murdered or, in my mom's case, just had a heart attack with no pre-existing conditions. That's what I mean when I say unexpected versus an expected passing, right? For clarity. So, as I was stating before the call came in, let me know what you think about what I'm saying. Let me know if it's making sense that I feel as if so much coverage and attention is on the wrong thing when it comes to these types of situations. I don't see as much, if any at all, coverage or attention on the person in their situation that may have led them to smoke weed, that may have led them to popping pills, that may have led them to binge drinking, that may have led them to harm the other person. The attention is always on the most salacious, most quote unquote, I'm doing, exciting thing that can get the most views, the most clicks, the most likes, the most shares, the most downloads. The way my brain operates and the way that my gift is instilled into me and the way that my life experiences have been, I'm always thinking about that thing that's not given attention. So Shikari's Camp, if you stumble across this podcast, you come across my IG post talking about and referencing this podcast, hit me up. Visit my website. You can jump on my DMs on Instagram. If I can help or mentor or coach in any way, hit me up. On Instagram, I'm Coach VMP. That's COACHVEE. M as in Mary, P as in Paul. Coach VMP on Instagram. If you listen to this episode and you want to give me your feedback, go to my Instagram page, find my post that is talking about Shikari Richardson and the podcast episode that we've recorded today, and let me know how you feel. Sound off, and we may talk about your points and your comment or ask your question in our next podcast episode. If you have any questions about the services that I offer, visit my website, www.coachvmp.com. And if you want to support my lifestyle brand, where I have apparel, accessories, and self-help items that promote my brand, Mental Health is Sexy, but also items that help you independently do your work to support your mental, emotional health, visit my website at www.coachvmpdesigns.com. I will put this information in the description of this podcast episode. If you have a question for me and you would like for me to cover it on this podcast, you can reach me any of those ways that I mentioned and send me a message and listen to the podcast, and hopefully you will hear me answer your question. You may remain anonymous. If you so choose to, please leave that in your message. So this is episode 1 of season 3 of the podcast Mental Health is Sexy with Coach V from the 513. Thank you so much for giving me 30 minutes of your time to convince you just how sexy mental health is. I will see you next time.